The first reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, verses 7 to 10. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God.
The second reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander.
The third reading from Psalm 89, beginning at verse 1. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too, in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord.
I'm sure you've heard this quote. It's apparently by St. Francis of Assisi, but possibly not. And the quote is, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. You might have heard that. And actually, I like it. I like it because preaching the gospel isn't just with words, but it is with words as well as actions. And actually, when we look at that reading from Peter, St. Peter was writing to a group of Christians who were really being persecuted for their faith. They were scattered amongst different towns in the Middle East and in Asia. And they were quite fearful. And those words that he says to them, he says, don't be afraid, even if you should suffer for doing good and doing right. Instead, he says, in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord and always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And you might have noticed, well, at least I did when I was reading through this a number of times, you might have noticed that their actions, so they were suffering for what? For doing good, were connected to their beliefs. What is their belief? Setting aside Jesus Christ as Lord in their hearts. And those actions and beliefs were connected to their words. Always be ready to give an answer to those who ask about the hope that's within you. These three things are intrinsically linked. So we're coming to the sixth of our six M's, aren't we? There they are. I was going to test you, now there's no point. They're all up there. But just to remind you, modeling godly character, making good work. That's about the doing good, isn't it? Ministering grace and love to those on your front line. Molding your environment. Well, I don't quite remember that one. I think it's your culture, yes. Mouthpiece for truth and justice. And finally, this one, which is messenger of the gospel. Which one do you like the most? Which one do you like the least? I think that sometimes we don't like the idea that we have to be a messenger of the gospel. Why? Well, it comes to two words, doesn't it? Evangelism and maybe even proselytization. What does proselytization mean? I can't even say the word. What does evangelism mean? So just for a minute, on your tables, say what you understand by what evangelism is. Okay? And once you've said what is evangelism, I want you to think about, is this the same as being a messenger of the gospel? And finally, I think it's on the next slide, three questions. So what is evangelism? Another click, please, Jane. Second one, is evangelism the same as being a messenger of the gospel? And third one, how do you feel about it? Okay, so just have a little chat, informal chat. How are you doing? Have you got some answers? What is evangelism? Do you know? It's something about the good news. It's something about spreading the good news. I'll tell you the answer anyway. Okay. But it's quite good to get some other people talking. I should actually have somebody else with you because it's always good to talk with other people. I've been just having a little listen on the tables, and actually I think the general consensus is we're not quite sure what it is. So let's get some answers. What is evangelism? What does it mean? Come on. Yes. So that's quite simple, telling people the good news. Actually, the word gospel, being a messenger of the gospel, gospel simply means good news. That's all. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are gospels. What do? They tell us the good news of Jesus Christ. And so when we think about evangelism, we're not doing something fancy and religious. Well, I suppose it is kind of religious. But we are sharing the good news. And often the good news is about what Jesus has done. Why? Because Jesus brings hope. He brings salvation. He brings healing of mind, body, and spirit. He brings freedom for the oppressed. Think of those people in Zimbabwe. I'm telling you, the church has been praying and working towards that day for a long time. There's a chap called Ivan Morecki. I can't remember his surname very well. But he has been imprisoned for his faith. And he has stood up against the corruption in the government for a good number of years. And they've had big rallies, big prayer rallies. All the different faiths, Roman Catholic, a Church of England, the Evangelical Alliance people have come together, and they've come together to pray for the country, but they've come together to stand against corruption and against the bad things. It takes time, but it happens. And so the good news is about what happens to us, to our neighbor, and to our communities, and it's to do with being freed from oppression and things that bind us in our countries or in ourselves. That's the good news. So I'm going to tell you probably only two stories because I think you're going to tell me the third. The two stories that I'm telling are about the gospel. But before I tell them, I just want to tell you a few things that Mark Green in his book, Fruitfulness on the Frontline, which I forgot to bring. All I would do is wave it up anyway. Mark Green says, there are three safe assumptions about being a messenger of the gospel. First, God wants to save people because he loves them. Can't argue with that, can we? Second, God is the lead evangelist, not us. That's because we can't save people. Only he can. So we don't convert people. That's not our job. We don't proselytize and make people change their mind in some way. But we share some things that God has done for us. So God wants people to be saved because he loves them. God is the lead evangelist, not us. But the third thing, which is clearly an assumption that we need to make, is we have a role to play. It's not just up to God. And the role that we have to play is this business of being the six M's, of doing good work, of molding culture, of standing up for truth and justice, of being a messenger of the gospel. So this is my first story, and it connects a little bit with the Zimbabwe story. It connects a little bit with what you said, Vaughan, because I heard it on the radio, not on the television. Radio 4's Today program, about Friday last week, not about, definitely, because I checked it. Frank Gardner, do you know him? He's BBC's security correspondent. He was talking to the new Coptic Bishop of London, called Bishop Angelos. If you Google Bishop Angelos or Coptic Church, there's actually a lot going on at the moment. London is a new diocese of that Christian church. So the Christian Coptic Church is in Egypt. That's where they were talking. And actually, as I was preparing the sermon, the news came through, that terrible news of the massacre of those Muslims who were in the mosque worshipping on Friday. 300 people killed. By who? Islamic extremists. You can't understand, can you? Even the people trying to leave the mosque, there were people who shot them down. So whilst we're thinking about what's going on in Egypt, we've got to be thinking not only of our Christian brothers and sisters, but of everybody who's of faith, who is under attack. Anyway, back to this report. Frank Gardner was talking about the resilience that the Coptic Christians in Egypt had shown. And many of them have faced martyrdom. Some of them live in villages where people have been martyred. Bishop Angelos testifies that their resilience comes from a love of life in the right sense and an ability to forgive those who persecute and even kill us. That's hard. He says, the message to those who choose to persecute us, and that's to ISIS and to Islamic extremists, is that we love you and we forgive you. This is on the radio. This is Frank Gardner talking with the Bishop of London, the Bishop of the Coptic Church in London. How similar their situation is to the church that Peter was writing to. How similar is their situation because they were suffering for the good that they were doing. And so these words, do not fear their threats, do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give a reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. These words are really powerful words, aren't they? And that's what they're doing. And they're doing it that those people who are killing and who are threatening the community might be ashamed of their slander. That was the last words of that reading. So anyway, Frank Gardner and Bishop Angelos, they went to meet a man whose granddaughter was killed in one of the terrorist attacks. And an Islamic suicide bomber was in their church. So Frank Gardner says, this is a terrible thing that's happened to your granddaughter. It must have changed you. How has it changed you? And he says, I haven't stopped going to church. I'm going more often than ever. He said, that our religion teaches us to forgive, to love our enemies, and to pray for those who curse us. So in summary, Frank Gardner says this. He's noticed two things. This is 8 minutes in prime time listening. The Coptic Christians have an amazing capacity to turn the other cheek. Where have we heard that before? The other capacity they have is defiance and a resilience. Their sermons, along with their deep faith, are the things that bind this beleaguered community together. Isn't that the good news? Who's talking about the good news? Probably somebody who doesn't even have faith. I don't know. Frank Gardner may well be a practicing Christian. But what a testimony to the power of the gospel to break the bondage that people are under, and part of the bondage is fear. Frank Gardner is one of the ones that Isaiah speaks of when he says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. And of course, the Bishop of London, the Coptic Bishop, Bishop Angelos, and the people in those communities, they are the ones who bring good news. I find that so humbling, so moving. So now you've got some dramatic stories to tell. No, maybe they're not as dramatic. Okay, we don't live in that kind of community. But we too can be messages of the gospel, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So I'm actually not going to tell you my second story, not yet anyway. I want you to tell stories to one another. So I'm thinking about our ordinary everyday front lines, the people we meet, the things we say, what we do. And I'm thinking about the little conversations that we might have in a day that bring good news. Okay? So think for a minute. When might I have either had a conversation that I've spoken of myself or heard one that brings good news to our communities? Share a bit amongst each other, and then we'll see what we have to say. Any good news? So I've just heard some really encouraging stories. And Julie was just sharing something. I can see she's a bit tearful about it. Julie, would you mind coming up to the front and just sharing a bit about that? Because it's just such an amazing thing that this one... what you've got to do, you've got to be thinking about which of the six M's Julie's talking about here, okay?
Well, it was something, I think I might have shared it before. I was in Asda and in a queue, and there was a woman in front of me. She had three children with her and a husband, and she was obviously quite weak because she was in a wheelchair. And yes, please, can I have a tissue?
Yes, I will. I'm getting one.
And she was sort of went to get her purse to pay for thing, realised she hadn't got her purse. So she said to her husband, oh, I haven't got my money with me. And so they had a little bit of money, and she said, you better put that back and that back. And he'd bought some flowers for her and some other bits. And I just felt the Lord saying to me, give her some money. And I don't normally do that sort of thing, like, without thinking. Mm. And I just felt really compelled to do it. And they said, oh, no, it's okay. They bought the things. And I just said to the cashier, put the things they put aside on my bill. Just ring them through, and I gave them to him. And the woman came up and hugged me, and she said, oh, thank you so much. She said, I've just come out of hospital. We've just lost our baby. And normally I would have my purse with me, but I've left my handbag at home. And she waited for me to come out of the supermarket, and she came back up and hugged me, and so did all her children, and said, "Thank you so much." She said, "It really, really means something to me." She said, "Oh, I need your address to pay you back." I said, "No, I don't want any payment." I just said, "If you've got an opportunity to help someone else, do that instead." But it still really feels emotional to me. That day, I really felt God. It was like a loud voice kind of booming out at me from above. It was really strange.
Just stay here for a second. I mean, my story was going to be very similar to what Judy's just shared. The point is that God is there already. That God is already at work. And that Julie was listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit prompting her to do something. Did you pick up on some of the M's there? What was she doing? She was doing good work. She was also modeling godly character. What else? Grace and love. She was ministering in grace and love. Now, what I'm trying to say is that these opportunities God gives us, and what we need to be better practiced at is listening to what His voice is saying, and not thinking about, "Oh, but that seems a bit strange. What a fool I'll feel if they're saying, no, we don't do things in case we make a fool of ourselves." Well, so what? So what if we do? Actually, we're there to bless the people we come into contact with, and to let them know we're doing it partly because we follow Christ. We love what Jesus does, and Jesus is part of our lives. So, Julie, shall we just pray for that lady?
Yeah.
Do you want to do it, or shall I?
You do it.
Okay. And Lord Jesus, thank you for this lady. We don't know her. Julie's met her once, and her children. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would draw her to your kingdom, and that you would love her, that you'd touch her life in many other ways apart from this really significant way that Julie was obviously moved to do by your Spirit. And thank you for what Julie did. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is on the move. God is already on the move. Now, I've got a little diagram here. This is called the Engle Scale of Steps to Christ. Now, you can't read those steps. You don't have to. There's actually 16 steps there. And in the middle, there's a slightly different coloured step. And that's the decision to surrender to Jesus. But up to that step, there's 10 steps. Basically, little acts of kindness like Julie was able to do, little things that people say and do, us, to other people, moves them up those steps of faith. Now, David was just sharing with me, I said, "So tell me, is there any area that you are a messenger of the gospel?" He says, "No." I know David is, actually. So I pressed him a bit further, and I said, "Well, you know, what about the people who you live, you know, next to and with?" He said, "Oh, yeah, they know I'm a Christian. I do." So I said, "Do you deliver the newsletter by any chance?" "Yeah, I do that." Well, and I said, "Doesn't that have the services in them?" Do you know, this season, the Church of England calls a season of invitation, because there's lots of things to invite people to. Over Christmas, we're going to have, obviously, the parade service next week. That's the beginning of Advent. Lots is going on in the parade service, and lots of children will be there. If you've got families who live close to you, invite them. Carol service, which is on the week before Christmas Eve. There's also the carols by candlelight at Oldham, part of our benefice. And Christmas Day, we've got a nativity or crib service in the afternoon, as well as a midnight mass, as well as two services on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve and Christmas. It's all in your newsletter. You might even have cards with those details on them. Invite your neighbors. Give them a chance to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, I love you all. I look at you and I think every person here means something to me and has become part of my life in the last year and a bit. We are a community. But you know what? One thing I'd love to see a bit more of is some people who I don't yet know and I don't yet love because I've never met them. Don't be ashamed to invite people along. And let's have this hall, this church, the hall and the church, filled with people who might be somewhere on that scale of coming to know Christ. How will they do it? We are the messengers of the gospel. God is the one who brings salvation. Don't be ashamed of your faith. Through what you say, he can touch others. And a few little things. Interested in Jesus. Contact with Christians. They're right at the bottom. But then we get acceptance of the Christian truth. Understanding who Jesus is. There's a little booklet here called Knowing God Personally. Now, this is like four steps to getting to know God. Now, if you've got somebody who you know that you've been chatting to over a period of time, it might be that they're ready to just have a look through this with you. I mean, and then you leave it with them. There's a prayer at the end. And whether they choose to pray the prayer or not, well, that's not your business. That's their business. They might want to pray it with you. This little booklet has been designed for people who are on step 9, ready for step 10. That might not be your friend, might not be your family member, but it might be. So there are a couple of things that we can do. Again, Mark Green tells us in his book. How do we do it? We do these things, and the next slide has them on. We are messengers of the gospel by, first of all, praying. These are a few clicks, Jane, I think four in a row. Praying for people. Second thing, we do it by caring for people. We do it by sharing with people, and we do it by offering different ways forward. We've already talked about all those things. Now, I've got a little thing for you to do. So on your sheets, I want you to write down the name of one person, or maybe two, that are on your front line that you're already thinking about and praying for. Okay? People who you come into contact with or who God's put on your heart. The second thing I want you to do is once you've written down that name, is think about how maybe you could care for that person. Write it in the corner underneath their names. There's a big sheet on your paper. I want you to write in big letters the names of the people or name of the person that you're praying for over Christmas this year. Oh, we have to come to an end quite soon. Sorry, this is going on. Maybe just write the names and forget about the other things. Finally, think of ways that you can offer them a way forward on their journey, and take a paperclip and attach it to something that you wear regularly, your coat or your shoelace, and that paperclip is to remind you to pray, care, share, and offer. So grab your paperclip. There's paperclips on your table. Attach it to something that belongs to you. And that person, the paperclip is to remind you of the person or the people that you're praying for. Every time you see it or feel it, right. And there's also little cards that if you haven't got one through your network group, to take these away and put them in your wallet, and every time you read those, that can prompt you as well. I'm going to finish very briefly now with something that came through Soul Space. So lots of us were involved with Soul Space. It was a real blessing to be with those young people. And on your table, you've got some blossoms. You can't see these pictures well, but one is like a calm tent. The other is beads with different colors that symbolize our individuality, and they were doing pictures with it. And then there's a box there, and there's a boy in the box, crawled in the box. And the box is to remind the children that some people live in boxes. It was all about homelessness. But this one, the question was, what are your hopes and dreams? That's all. And I was so touched because at the sharing time, at the end of Soul Space, when I was asking the children in one of the groups what meant the most to them and what did they find the most difficult, one little boy, this is the boy of 10 or 11, he puts up his hand and he said, it was the hope and dreams that I found so difficult. I said, that's interesting, why is that? He said, because I wrote down, I hope I will follow God's path for my life, no matter how hard, because people sometimes laugh at me. But he said, you just have to keep on. I was so touched. Here's a little boy speaking out the message of the gospel in front of all his friends in the class. I will follow God's path for my life, no matter how hard it becomes. I just have to keep on. So let's praise God for the people that we come into contact with. God is on the move. He's already on the move. And we have a part to play in that. Let's pray. This is from the psalm that was read out. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. Lord, with our mouths we will make your faithfulness known through all generations. Lord, we will declare that your love stands firm forever and that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Amen. Thank you for all your sharing and your caring.